Well, as we began the new year last week, family, and again this morning, we will be, as I said, taking as our text 1 Chronicles 29, as we continue our discussion on the issue of giving. And you'll recall that I'm not interested, church, and this is really important, and especially for you, Brittany, like as you're new here. I'm not interested in these messages, relative to these messages, in communicating the scriptural commands for us to be generous per se, although that's here. And those are important. It's important to recognize that the scriptures command us to be generous relative to giving and that sort of thing. But my concern for us as a church is not, as I mentioned last time, that we lack generosity in our spirit. That's not been the concern. In other words, church, I did not start out as we approach the new year desiring to give instruction on the need for giving of our resources because of a lack of generosity in our church. But rather, as I shared last week, as I sort of contemplated where we are as a church in the context of sort of what looked like some financial shortfalls that I shared with you a few months ago now, I came across 1 Chronicles 29 sort of purely by accident, if there is such a thing as an accident, and there isn't. But in the providences of God, I came across 1 Chronicles 29. As I mentioned last time, church, the KDSM, our church, is one of the most generous churches I've ever been a part of. And while I need to do better, as I sort of confessed to you last time as your pastor in both reminding us with greater regularity of the call to worship the Lord and the bringing of our offerings to Him, as well as, and some of you are already taking advantage of this, sort of incorporating into our practical worship the habit of giving to a greater degree, our church has always been responsive to any needs that have arisen. And you all have always risen to whatever occasion came before us in terms of financial needs or shortfalls. And hence, our discussion on this topic does not stem from any concern that I have relative to an unwillingness to give or from a need to sort of offer a rebuke of any kind, but rather it comes from a desire to look at the heart that is meant to drive our generosity. That's really what this is about, is the heart that is meant to drive or that sits behind our generosity, that is to look at the heart attitude and the love for God that sits underneath or that sort of forms the foundation of our desire to give. And also to look at what occurs in our hearts when we give. What occurs in our hearts when we give. As I noted last time, it's relatively easy, frankly, and almost cliche in some circles, although not here at Cléo des Moines so much, for me to sort of exhort our community to generosity. And that exhortation is one that you've undoubtedly heard before. But what has been good for me personally to look at and what I desire for all of us to examine is that we examine our hearts, the heart attitude, the delight in God, the delight that we take in God and in His purposes that is meant to drive our generosity and the pleasure, the gladness that He returns to us in our generosity when we're generous. And this is a very strong thread through 1 Chronicles 29 as the writer records the events. You remember that most of last week was sort of setting context, but in 1 Chronicles 29, the writer records the events surrounding King David's preparation for the building of what would become the Solomonic Temple or Solomon's Temple. And David's generosity and exhortation to the nation of Israel surrounding specifically that work of providing for the building of God's house and the ministry that would occur there, born from, this is what we were looking at, was that David's exhortation to the nation was born from David's unfailing delight and pleasure in God. His unfailing delight and pleasure in God's purposes. And this is an example for us to follow, church. Right? It is easy to sort of take on giving as a routine, right? As opposed to something that we do as a part of our worship to God because of how we delight in Him. And so we began looking a bit at these principles last time, But we really only scratched the surface a bit. As I mentioned, I needed to set some context for our study of what is the final book of 1 Chronicles. You know, chapter 29 is the last chapter. There's a lot that came before that. I wanted to sort of set the stage for what we're seeing there. Now, this morning, we're not going to go 1:10, I promise. Okay, so I'm not going to review all of that context again for the sake of time, but I do want to look ever so briefly again at the lessons we were able to take away last time relative to this issue. We won't look at the context, but I do want to get at a couple of the lessons that we saw of the heart for God that should, sort of the lessons around the heart for God that should undergird and drive our giving as an act of worship. So we're going to begin by reading our text in 1 Chronicles 29. Then we'll do a quick review of a couple of those principles. And then we'll move on to some additional ones in our study this morning. So 1 Chronicles 29, I don't know if everyone's had a chance to get there. That's probably in a section of the Bible. I heard a pastor say, where your pages are still stuck together. It's a really good way to say it. I'll wait. I don't hear a lot of, it sounds like everybody's there. This is good. All right. We'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Then King David said to the entire assembly, 'My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the temple is not for man, but for Yahweh God. Now with all my power, I have prepared for the house of my God the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, onyx stones, and inlaid stones, stones of antimony, and stones of various colors, and all kinds of precious stones and alabaster in abundance. Moreover, in my pleasure in the house of my God, the treasure I have of gold and silver, I give to the house of my God, over and above all that I have already prepared for the holy house, namely, 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the buildings, of gold for the things of gold, and of silver for the things of silver, that is, for all the work done by the hand of craftsmen. Who then would offer willingly to ordain himself this day to Yahweh?' Then the commanders of the fathers' households, and the commanders of the tribes of Israel, and the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, with the commanders of the king's work, offered willingly. And for the service for the house of God, they gave 5,000 talents, and 10,000 derricks of gold, and 10,000 talents of silver, and 18,000 talents of brass, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever possessed precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of Yahweh, in the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people were glad because they had offered so willingly, for they made their freewill offering to Yahweh with a whole heart, and King David also was exceedingly glad." Verse 10, "So David blessed Yahweh in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, 'Blessed are you, O Yahweh, the God of Israel, our Father, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the kingdom, O Yahweh, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. So now, our God, we are thanking you and praising your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as willingly as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you and foreign residents like all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Yahweh our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand, and all is yours. And I know, O my God, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness. I, in the uprightness of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now with gladness I have seen your people who are present here make their offerings willingly to you. O Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intentions of the heart of your people and prepare their heart to you. And give to my son Solomon a whole heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them all and to build the temple for which I have made preparation. Then David said to all the assembly, Now bless Yahweh your God. And all the assembly blessed Yahweh, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and prostrated themselves to Yahweh and to the king. And on the next day, they made sacrifices to Yahweh and offered burnt offerings to Yahweh, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. So they ate and drank that day before Yahweh with great gladness. We have an emergency. This is on the recording for posterity. Sort of a lengthy section, but really important, church. Now, I noted that I wasn't going to review the context for this chapter, but I'm going to, in very broad terms now, in pointing out the obvious. This section chronicles, pun intended, okay? This section, yeah, that was cheesy. This section chronicles, okay, an address that David gave to the nation of Israel. And at its root, contextually speaking, is his desire to build God a house, to build a place where the Ark of the Covenant could reside, and therefore where God's presence would be there amongst the nation, right? And where the Israelites could come and worship the Lord. And we saw last week in chapter 17 of 1 Chronicles, when we were sort of laying out some of this context in verses 1 and 2, that David expressed this desire to build God a house to the prophet Nathan as he sat in his sort of new royal estate. Remember, David is sort of consolidating his power. Saul's been killed. He's the new king. And one of the neighboring nations, a Phoenician nation, gives him all these materials and they build a palace for him. And he's sitting in that palace, sort of contemplating his new kingdom. His military people are together. He's got the prophets with him. And he realizes that as he sits in this giant estate, the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God sort of hovers or resides, is sitting under tent curtains, right? And this just didn't seem right to him. And why? Why did that not seem right to him? Because it is clear that David, church, loved God. David loved God and wanted to see him honored, to see him made much of, that is, to see him glorified, to see the Lord exalted and residing, if you will, in a place that was beautiful and worthy of who he is. This is what David's desire was for God because he loved God. And I noticed last week that there is a principle or two in that, church, and an example for us to consider. The heart of King David for God, to see God honored, to see a place set aside for his presence and within which his people could come to worship, a place devoted to the proclamation of his name, rightly raises a question that I asked and that I'm desirous for us to answer in the affirmative, family. Do we have a heart for God like this? It's not about the building. I'm not talking about, oh, we have a heart for God, so we want to have a building for him. That's not what I'm talking about. Do we have a heart for God like David that said, I want God to be exalted in everything? I want him to be glorified. It's not necessarily, I mentioned this last week, the text isn't about church buildings, family. That's not the issue. It's not about the temple. It's do we have a heart for God that's like this? Not a heart that desires to build a grandiose building for the Lord necessarily, but that holds him as worthy of the most grandiose of buildings, worthy of our best, worthy of all that we have, that desires to see him honored in every respect, that longs to see him proclaimed to all people and to be held in high esteem. Do we have a heart like that? Do we love him like that as David did? Such that there is no request, family, that he could make of us, no matter how costly, that would seem like too much. Do we love him such that not only do we serve him with our time and with our words and with the way that we work and parent and love our spouses and sing and when we come to church, but also with the giving of our resources? Because we delight in him the way that David did. Not because we're supposed to, but because we delight in him and we delight in who he is. David did this. In this text, he gave radically, as we saw. He gave of his resources radically as an expression of his delight in God. And we saw this in chapter 28 as David began to communicate to the leaders of the nation. Remember, he communicates the succession of his throne to his son Solomon. He's telling the leaders, the next king is going to be my son Solomon. Got lots of sons, but this is the one that God has set aside to be your next king. It's Solomon. And you'll remember that we saw there that David called the leaders of Israel together to confirm this, and to confirm that Solomon would be the one to actually oversee the building of the house of God, of the temple. And there he charged Solomon, if you remember, in verse 9, to know the God of your father and to serve him with a whole heart and a delighted soul. I loved that, running across that. To serve God with a whole heart and a delighted soul. This was David's charge to Solomon. And this was and is significant relative to our focus here, church, because David is calling out for us not just our need to know God and to serve him, but he speaks here to attitude. He speaks here to the spirit with which we are to serve the Lord. That is, with delight. With delight, with great pleasure. We serve the Lord, family, with all of our ability according to our place in life and the gifts that he's given us, giving him our best and with maximum effort. That is, with a whole heart. That's what that means. But also we serve him, or are to serve him, with delight. With delight. I noted last week that we are to take great pleasure in our souls and our service of the Lord. Our service was never meant, church, to take on the tone of routine, but it is to be one of the great pleasures of our life, one of our great delights to serve God, even when it's hard, even when it's time-consuming, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's costly to us. It should be our delight to serve him. This is the kind of heart David had, you see. Do we have a heart like that? And we saw that David didn't simply exhort his son to serve God from a place of delight in him. He didn't just tell Solomon, hey, do this, serve him with delight. But David himself demonstrated this. He exemplified it. And when we looked at 1 Chronicles 29, we looked at the gift that King David gave from his personal wealth on top of all of the wealth that as king he had gathered together for the national treasury. So David had made preparation. God had said, you're not going to be, remember, the one to build the temple. But David goes, okay, I can't build it. My son Solomon's going to build it, but I'm going to make preparation. And so nationally, as king, he gets all of this wealth together, or all of the material together to build the temple. But then we saw that he gave from his personal wealth. You remember that in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 29, we see David give 3,000 talents of gold and 7,000 talents of silver, which we calculated in today's dollars as very close to $6,678,036,480. That's what David gave in today's dollars to the temple from his wealth, from his own wealth. King David gave 112 tons of gold and 234 tons of silver to the work from his personal wealth. And while that's staggering, right, it's sort of an unimaginable amount of money, the amount isn't the point. The amount isn't the point beyond what it tells us about David's heart. It's not about the amount, because God doesn't give everybody that kind of money. We all have our places, and God allocates wealth to each of us in a different way. It's not about the amount. It's about the heart, or about what David's giving that amount says about his heart. The text in verse 3 begins by telling us that David gave this money, look at it there in verse 3, because of the pleasure he took in God's house. Because of the pleasure he took in God's house. Do you see it there? Moreover, in my pleasure in the house of my God, The treasure I have of gold and silver I give to the house of my God over and above all that I have already prepared for the holy house, namely 3,000 talents of gold and so on and so forth. Because of the pleasure that David took in God, he gives. David's desire for the honor of God and the joy that it would bring him, that is David, to see a house built for the Lord, used for the worship of God, for God's people, was worth $6.5 billion to David. That's how much it was worth to him. Again here, church, this isn't a text whose point is a church building or amounts of money. That is not the author's intent here. The point is the example of David relative to his love for and devotion to God and his desire to see God honored and the way that that desire compelled David in the use of his money. David gave what to us is an almost unimaginable sum because he delighted in God and in God's house. David's delight in God informed his generosity. And we talked about the reality, church, the principle, that is, and this is an axiom, it's a truth, okay? That what we value is what we spend our money on. What we value is what we spend our money on. And I frame that principle, by the way, I'll say it again as I did last week, that's not bad, okay? But I frame that principle a few different ways, if you remember. One way of saying it is that we give our resources to that which we truly delight in. Another way of saying it is, when we truly value something, we give our time and our resources to it. Another way is that what we spend our money on is at least a partial statement on what we value and how much we value it. Lots of ways to say it, but those all have different, slightly different nuances to them. And to add to that, I noted that how much resource we give to something, how much resource we give or allocate to something, says at least a little something about how much we value what we're giving to. Right? Those are all just axioms. They're truths. You remember that I noted, and I said it just a second ago, that this isn't meant to make us feel guilty. That's not a negative thing. It's the way we're wired. We invest in that which we value. We give our resources, particularly our money, to those things that we value, that we delight in, that we love. The issue is always, then, what we value. It's never about that we, it's like I said, it's not a bad thing that we give our money to what we value. The issue is, what do we value? What do we delight in? What do we love? And David's heart was in the right place. He loved God. He says in verse 17, here in chapter 29, and I know, if you flip forward, you can see it, but you don't have to turn there, just in verse 17, of chapter 29. He says, and I know, O my God, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness. I, in the uprightness of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. David's saying, God, you know what my heart is, and I gave these things willingly because I love you. David delighted in God and his work and his purposes and his house, and so he gave exorbitantly to God. You see? Now, there are a number of other principles. You can sit with that and work on that. I have to, family, relative to how I think about the allocation of what God has given to me in my resources. Does what I give reflect how much I delight in the Lord? That's a question all of us has to ask. It might be 10 cents for you, and it might be $6.5 billion. The amount is immaterial. The issue is in the uprightness of my heart, do I delight in God such that my resources reflect how much I love him? How I use my resources or what I give to him reflects that. Just a question for all of us to answer. It's one of the principles here in 1 Chronicles 29. Now, there are a number of other principles that we didn't get to last time that address our hearts with respect to generosity and its relationship to our worship of and love for the Lord. And so we're going to take a look at those now. And this is the thing that was so compelling to me, family, as I when I ran across 1 Chronicles 29. When I sing to the Lord, I sing to him because I love him, right? We raise our voices to the Lord. It's part of our worship of God. What we're seeing here in the way that David delights in God and how his delight and love for God inform his generosity is worship. It's giving as an act of worship. I praise you, God, and here's my stuff. That's trickier for me. I don't think I look at my giving as an act of worship. I worship you, Lord. Here's my gift. Here's my sacrifice. Here's my offering. That's compelling, family. Like this, and this is what I'm after. Like I said, you all, church, have been so generous. What I want for us as a church, and for myself as well, is to be generous out of our worship of God and our delight in Him. And my guess is that the more we delight in Him, the more free we'll be in what we give to Him. That would just be my guess. That's not in my notes, but this is the way I'm feeling sort of led and compelled around this truth as I reflect on it. My prayer, church, is that all of this serves to instruct us around this, to instruct us concerning the heart of worship of God that is meant to be sort of the foundation of all of our giving, and particularly our giving to God's church and the work that occurs there, because that's what the context of this is. This text particularly is talking about the wealth that was given to build God a house and the service that would occur there. And the first thing I want you to notice as we kind of continue on to look at some additional principles here, the first thing I want you to notice follows from the generosity of David as we see it here in verses 3 and 4. So if you're there in chapter 29. Notice here, church, that generosity is contagious. Generosity is contagious. This is another principle. If you're a note taker, you can write that down. Generosity is contagious. David contributes this huge gift. He Elon Musks this thing, right? $6.5 billion. And in his giving, he sets an example. As the king of Israel, as the leader of leaders, he sets the pace and gives to the work because of his delight, his pleasure in the house of God. And then he asks the question there at the end of verse 5 to the assembly. You can see it there. Who then would offer willingly to ordain himself this day to Yahweh? David is essentially saying there, who would willingly, cheerfully give to the Lord along with me, and in doing so, set himself apart for the Lord in demonstrating a singular devotion to the Lord and his purposes? That's what he's saying. Who will join me in this? Now, church, obviously there is more to being set apart for the Lord than giving of your resources to him. So let's not be reductionistic, but for the sake of this text, that's what we're talking about. But giving is definitely a part of it. It's part of how we set ourselves apart for God. Why? Because as we've said, what we spend our money on says something about what we value. And if we value the Lord, if we delight in Him, if we're devoted to Him as His people, we will give of our resources. We will give of that which makes us feel most secure in this life to the only one who can truly give us security. And so David asked the question, in essence, who's with me? I'm going to put my treasure out there, who's with me? And notice in verses 6 through 8, the contagiousness of generosity. Then the commanders of the father's households, and the commanders of the tribes of Israel, and the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, with the commanders of the king's work, offered willingly. And for the service for the house of God, they gave 5,000 talents, 10,000 derricks of gold, and 10,000 talents of silver, and 18,000 talents of brass, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever possessed precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of Yahweh in the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Now we calculated that David's 3,000 talents of gold would equate to something close to $6.5 billion in today's dollars. And the people of the nation, including the leadership of the tribes, offers almost double that in 10,000 talents. Almost double that in gold and then 10,000 talents of silver. Remember that 7,000 talents equals about $200 million worth of silver. That was David's portion, or 234 tons. The nation gathers another 10,000 talents. David gave 7,000. $200 million worth, the nation gets another 10,000 talents together. 18,000 talents of brass, 674.64 tons of brass. I don't know what that's worth. It's a lot. And 100,000 talents or 3,748 tons of iron. And not only this, but they gave gemstones, right? Precious stones. Verse 8 tells us to the treasury, the temple, and the care of Jehiel. The giving of David was contagious. He goes, I'm going to make this offering to the Lord, $6.5 billion. And the nation goes, yeah, we need to follow suit. We need to follow suit. 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 of bronze, of brass, and 100,000 talents of iron. Now, I want you to notice, church, since this giving here is particular to the temple or the house of God, the place where God's people or God's presence dwelt, and where God's people came to worship him, that is what this gift was for. It was for the temple and the work of the ministry in the nation. All of this wealth was not only for the building. I think Gary asked me last week, well, how much gold could you put in a building? You know? But you'll note in verse 7 that it appears that the money that the nation gave after David's gift, this huge amount that was given after David's gift, was given for, you see, notice it says there, the service for the house of God. So it wasn't just for the building. In other words, some of this money would be used to support those who served in the temple. A lot of it would be used to support those who served in the temple and for all that was needed to run the temple in all of its operations. And I note that, church, only by way of saying that even a few thousand years ago, and we've talked about this in our just family discussions here, even a few thousand years ago, ministry cost something, right? Nothing was happening for free, right? Serving God, attending worship, the operation of the temple, and in our day, the church, it costs something. It costs something. Again, this isn't a rebuke. We have plenty. But it's just a note to say, oh, even back in David's time, 1000 BC is around when this was happening. It cost something to do ministry, right? And there was giving to accomplish that ministry. Ministry of God is funded by God's people. It says offering willingly. You see that? Offering willingly from hearts that delight in God and his purposes and hearts that are glad, it says. Hearts that are glad. And this brings us to another principle, church. Generosity is contagious. As we give, and as we demonstrate generosity, we set an example and it spur it on in others. And secondly, generosity brings gladness of heart. Generosity brings gladness of heart. And this gladness comes not only to the giver, but also to those who observe the generosity in others, which is a remarkable thing. There's nothing but goodness that comes out of generosity. Notice this in verse 9 where we read, then the people were glad. Then the people were glad because they had offered so willingly. For they made their freewill offering to Yahweh with a whole heart. And King David also was exceedingly glad. Church, notice the clarity of this. The people were glad because they had offered so willingly. In other words, their giving was characterized by a readiness, this idea of so willingly. Their giving was characterized by a readiness. The feeling here is one of cheerful eagerness. It says here, they had offered so willingly, which communicates that they had a deep desire to be generous in giving to the work of God's house. And notice here, there's no guilt involved. David's given this big gift, right? And he says, hey, who's with me? They don't give in response out of guilt or a sense of sort of legalistic obligation. It says they made their what? Free will offering. Their free will offering to Yahweh with what? A whole heart. They made their free will offering to Yahweh with a whole heart, with all that was within them, with eager readiness. They gave generously to the Lord, cheerfully, freely, and it made them glad. It made them glad. When I was doing my study on this a couple of weeks ago, I wrote down in my notes, I called this a willing generosity with gladness. a willing generosity with gladness. And notice, David sees this. He sees them give like this and was also exceedingly glad, it says. Now, you might say here that, well, David wasn't glad because he observed the gladness of the people, because he just gave and maybe that's what made him glad. I'm sure David was glad, born from his own generosity. But if you look over to verse 17, David says this. He says, I know, O my God, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness. I, in the uprightness of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now with gladness, I have seen your people who are present here make their offerings willingly to you. Their giving made David glad. It makes everybody glad. It makes everybody glad when we're generous. Our generosity is contagious, and when we give, it makes us glad, and when we see others be generous, it makes us glad also. We're not even talking about the recipients of the generosity. We're just talking about what it does in our hearts, church, when we're generous or when others around us are generous. You see? Generosity is contagious. Generosity brings gladness of heart both to the giver and to those who see it. And in 1 Chronicles 29, the result of this gladness of heart in David is this incredible prayer of praise to Yahweh in verses 10 through 19. So that the gladness that generosity breeds in us, church, is not gladness in name only. Like, oh, I feel kind of happy in my heart. But it is a gladness that overflows in praise to the Lord. And it overflowed both in the prayer of David, but also in the people. Just quickly, as I won't read the entire prayer again, but notice David's opening words here in verses 10 through 13. So everyone gives, right? Everyone's glad. David's glad. Then the people give. David gives, makes him glad. The people see it. They give this crazy amount of money to the work. They're glad. David sees their giving. He's glad. And here's the fruit of it. So David blessed Yahweh in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, and I'm, by the way, men, I've mentioned to you I'm memorizing text. I'm memorizing this text, 10 through 13, 1 Chronicles 29. Blessed are you, O Yahweh, the God of Israel, our Father, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the kingdom, O Yahweh, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. So now, our God, we are thanking you and praising your glorious name. That's what the gladness of generosity produced in David. So now, our God, we are thanking you and praising your glorious name. What a prayer of praise and adoration to our Lord. I'm memorizing this because I want to learn to pray this way. I can't write something like that. Right? Now, this is inspired by the Holy Spirit, so he's got a good author. But I want to pray and praise God like this. Notice at the close of his prayer in verse 20, the response of the people. Then David said to all the assembly, look at what gladness is producing in them, church. This is what I'm getting at. Now bless Yahweh your God, David says. And it says, and all the assembly blessed Yahweh, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and prostrated themselves to Yahweh and to the king. And on the next day, they made sacrifices to Yahweh and offered burnt offerings to Yahweh, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. So they ate and drank that day before Yahweh with what? Great gladness. You see what this produces, church? Not only, by the way, did they give all of this, like 10,000 talents and all this stuff, but then the next day they give more. Animal sacrifices, drink offerings. Worshiping God. The nation's response is to bow low before God and to bless Him, which is to say that they invoked praise and blessing and adoration upon God. And notice on the next day, as I mentioned, they give again. 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. In other words, they did church. They do this big give, this big offering, and then they do church. They gather together to worship God. You see? They worship God by making their sacrifices before Him. They have a meal. And there it is again at the end of verse 22. They did this with great gladness, it says. Church, this text tells us so much about the heart of the people of God for God, or what at least it's meant to look like. How they delighted in Him, how they loved Him, how they wanted to honor Him and for Him to have glory in the world. And this drove their generosity to His house, to His work. Their giving, family, was an act of worship. This is what I'm wanting to have entrenched in our hearts. Again, it's not about the amount. It's, are we worshiping the Lord by giving the way that the Israelites did, the way that David exemplified for us and the people? And is then our generosity, family, contagious? Because we're each giving and are glad, and others see our generosity and they give and they're glad, and we're all exceedingly glad. That word's kind of lame, glad, but it's all over this text. They were glad, they were glad, they were exceedingly glad. Now, as I said, we're going to stop there this week, okay? Because to go on to the rest of this would be, this is a natural stopping point, and to go on would be another 45 minutes. So we're going to stop. Yeah, I'm getting thumbs ups. Yes, yes. It's almost lunchtime. Oh, I'm getting texts from the West Coast. So it is. That's my cue. But my prayer, family, is that this example of David and of the Israelites in this text, that it would compel us both really around the orientation of our hearts. And you understand, church, that everything belongs to God. We'll look at that principle next week, that everything that exists and all of the money in the world belongs to God. He's not interested in your money. He's interested in your heart. That's why it's not about amounts. That's why I'm not up here asking you for money. That's not the issue. I'm not asking you to give more. I'm not asking any of that. What I want for us as God's people at Cleo Des Moines is that giving is a part of our worship of the Lord, and that the root of our generosity toward the church, its work, and whatever the things that God calls us to, that the root of all of that is our pleasure in God, that we are a people that are characterized by a love for God, a delight in Him. John Piper's, if you know John Piper, who John Piper is, his whole theology is based around this issue, that God's end in everything, His purpose in everything, is to be made much of. But the corollary to that in Piper's theology, and he's right, by the way, from a biblical perspective, but the corollary to that is we as God's people will find our greatest delight in delighting ourselves in Him and glorifying Him. So God doesn't just say, make much of me and suffer. He says, no, no, no. My chief end is to be made much of, and you will be most glad when you do that. You will find the most pleasure, the most delight, the most blessing by making much of me. And this is sort of rooted in that idea. You guys, I want us to be generous, to be sure. Ministry costs money, blah, 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 for sure. God's given us enough. We have generous hearts. But may that generosity come from a sense of, man, I love God. I delight myself in Him. And my giving is one of the ways that I express my love for Him, my wanting Him to be made much of. That's really the core of all of this, church. So anyway, next week we'll finish up by looking at a few more principles that I want to touch on. Basically, we'll look at the principles that are the basis upon which or the reason why David could give $6.5 billion, or that the people could give the way that they did so freely, so willingly, with such gladness and so generously to God, and where their security comes from in that. And I've hinted at it already, but the text is rife with the idea, everything belongs to God. What you give to God, you're giving from Him, because what you have is from Him. This is the principle that we'll look at next week. So I pray that that's an encouragement to you, family. It's been challenging for me in my heart, and the way that I'm looking at giving. I know it has been that way with Lauren. I think that even some of what you guys have been studying at Walk has been sort of related to this, which is providence. But anyway, I pray that it's an encouragement to you, and that it's helping to shape our hearts and in our in our delight in God, in the way that we give, the heart from which we give. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, because we do recognize that everything that we have is from you. And so we praise you for what we have. All of us are in different places in life, Lord. You have allocated to each of us according to your good pleasure, Lord. And we trust that, Lord. That's not really the issue. Amounts are not your concern. Everything belongs to you. Lord, what you desire is for our hearts to delight in you, and that that would inform everything that we do. Not just our giving, but everything that we do. But it's certainly meant to be reflected. Our delight, our love, our devotion to you is meant to be reflected in how we give to you. And I pray that it would be, Lord, and that as we make some adjustments as a church, Lord, even just in the methodology, the practical ways that we give and think about giving, I pray that our giving would be deeply rooted in our worship of you, and that at a practical level we would facilitate as a church, Lord, ways that we can worship you by bringing our sacrifices and our gifts. Work in our hearts, Lord. My deepest concern in all of this, Lord, has been that my own heart would be would delight in you, such that giving to you would be a delight as part of how I worship you. And I pray that for our people, Lord, for everyone here. God, it removes the issue of money and makes it such something much deeper, which is what it always has been, Lord, and it is what your scripture is telling us, Lord. We see the example of the way your people gave to the temple. We see the example of David, but the amounts are not the issue. We also see how they loved you, how they wanted to honor you. Help us to have that kind of heart, Lord. And may our generosity be contagious. Lord, as we are generous, may others see that and be generous. And may that bring gladness to all of us. And I just thank you, Lord. It's another source of joy, God, that you give to us to be generous. That when we're generous, we get joy. We become glad. And to be a joyful people in our world, Lord, is a unique thing. And I pray that joy would characterize our who we are, God, as your people, and that people would be drawn to you in that. Just thank you so much for the time, God. I just thank you that we can be together. We praise you, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, how long? 47.